Before I begin my message, I want to thank those who were able to come in uniform today. Conrad and Ed and Steve, to help enhance our service today as we remember the fallen. But our message for this morning is remembering and choosing not to forget. And you'll understand why I chose this passage of Scripture to make my point. But I want to ask you a question to set up my message this morning. Have you ever struggled with forgetfulness? Why are you laughing? Has anyone here ever experienced going upstairs or to another room and when you got there, you forgot why you went there? And you're looking around for a hint? Maybe my glasses, a book. And then an hour later, you remember. Now, I heard, and I don't know if it's true, that it gets worse as you get older. As a young man, I wouldn't know that. It's true. We forget things so easy. And I would imagine most of us here this morning, short of the very young, have had these forgetful moments in our lives. These are times when our minds just go blank for whatever reason. There's a disconnect. Don't know why, maybe a physical thing, and I don't know really what causes it, but we're not hitting on all the cylinders at that moment. We forget why we got in a situation. But then there are moments when I coined it, I didn't see it anywhere in a textbook, intentional forgetfulness. What do I mean by that? Moments when we intentionally forget, we choose to fail to remember something or someone or an occasion that's extremely important. And so it's an intentional or a willingness to just forget. And all throughout Scripture, by the way, there are examples when people intentionally forgot all about what God had done for them in their lives. And frankly, if you read the passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, you know, the nation of Israel was split, and there was Judah, and then there was Israel, and both kingdoms fell, not at the same time, one in the 500s, the other in the 700s BC, to the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And one of the major reasons that these two kingdoms fell is because the people of God forgot what God had done for them. And they chose to do things their own way. They chose to assimilate themselves with their culture, and many of the things they assimilated with were contrary to God's will. And so the warnings, and that's why the prophets were brought in, to remind them not to forget. And many of those prophets paid for it with their lives because the people rejected the message of don't forget. Remember what God has done for you in your life. And you know what? I think all of us could also say we're guilty at times, ourselves, of forgetting what God has done for us in our lives. Sometimes we just forget. It could be intentional. It could be something that is unintentional. I don't know what it is, but we sometimes forget how God has worked in our lives. I recently had someone share with me a story, and it's not anyone connected to this church, so don't try to figure it out. But she said that she had gone over and above to help a family member in a time of crisis. And she helped her pay her bills. She helped bring food to the family so they had something to eat because there was unemployment experience in that home. She called her and encouraged her on a daily basis. And here's the kicker. She even helped get her a job where she worked. And this person said to me, the minute this relative of mine was secure in her situation, she fell off the radar. It was like I never existed. Now, we could call that forgetfulness. I got a better word for it. It's called being ungrateful. Forgetting all that this person did for you now that you're secure in yourself. And I think with the Israelites, that was the same thing. They were secure. They felt they really didn't need God. They were on their own two feet. And we know that it turned out disastrously. Well, here we are on Memorial Day weekend. Technically, Memorial Day is tomorrow. We all know that. And what do I see on television? I intentionally watched some of the commercials that was on TV, and there were commercials proclaiming specials on furniture and clothing and shoes and sporting goods and mattresses and cars. There was even one guy talking about Memorial Day weekend pool specials. You could have your pool installed at a discounted price. But none of them ever mention the reason for Memorial Day. I don't mind the specials. I don't mind the barbecues. I don't mind family time. Hey, that's great. Kids are off from school extra days. That's fine. But I'm watching these commercials, and not one of them that I saw, some of them did in other venues, never said, remember those who paid the ultimate price for the freedom of owning a pool and buying new furniture and be able to do all these things that we do in our nation. And so, let me see if I get this thing working. All gave some, but some gave all. And by the way, listen, this is no affront to our veterans or even those serving in the military right now. I'm a veteran. This is not Veterans Day. This is Memorial Day. There is a Veterans Day when we remember veterans for their service. Today we remember the folks who never made it back. And that's what this day is all about. And so Memorial Day is a national holiday of remembrance, established for the purpose of remembering those who not only served their country, but who made the ultimate sacrifice. And I might add, in most instances, as I said in my opening statements, do you know most of the sacrifices were made not even for this nation? Most of the sacrifices were made for the freedoms of other nations. Think about Europe. I think most of Europe would be speaking German today if it wasn't for the Americans. And most of the islands in the Pacific and everywhere else would be speaking Japanese if it wasn't for our men and women in uniform. And then when you look at the Middle East and all of the lives that were laid down so that people could vote in Iraq and other troubled spots where there was terrible and heinous crimes committed against humanity, and our troops went in there and they served. Some of them are here today. We thank our veterans, but we especially thank those who never made it home. But you know what I've noticed on Memorial Day? There's 2 days in other than religious days like Easter and Christmas, there's 2 days that I never forget. And one is today, and the other one is on September 11th. I choose not to forget. I know the world has moved on, and the World Trade Center is removed, the rubble, and they've got a beautiful Freedom Tower there now, and it's all wonderful, but I cannot forget the 3,000 lives that were lost that day on the southern tip of Manhattan 19 years ago. I just choose not to forget. You know, the photo of the gentleman that you see on your screen before you was one of my best friends. I was the godfather of his daughter, an infant daughter, and I lost him in 1980 by a criminal, a career criminal, who not only shot him, but ran him over and dragged him 11 blocks to his death, Cecil Frank Sledge. He was from Arkansas. He met a Lebanese girl in Brooklyn when he was serving at Fort Tilden, and he decided to stay up here in the Northeast and became a New York City police officer. Some of the things I remember about Frank, well, we never called him Cecil. He hated that name. He was a pig farmer, by the way. And he said, Cecil sounds like a pig farmer. But I'm in New York now. I want to be Frank. But Frank was such a strong born-again Christian. And when I didn't know Christ, he used to witness to me that I needed to come into a saving relationship with Jesus. And there's one of the witnesses in my life who's no longer with us. Why do I share a story on Memorial Day about a police officer? Because I can relate to this, because my closeness to this gentleman over the years. I was at his funeral in Brooklyn at a Methodist church. He was a Methodist. And there were tens of thousands of police officers at that funeral. The streets were lined up as far as the eye could see from all over the country and the world. We had police officers from Europe and all parts of the world there to honor this fallen friend of mine. His story was on the front page of every newspaper in New York as a hero, which he was. Hero police officer. And as I stood near his family, I looked at his grieving wife and his children, including that little infant that was just baptized a short time before he was killed. I still visualize him doing Lebanese dances with his wife and the festivities and the joy and everything that happened. And I'm looking at his wife and his children, and a crazy thought came over my head, into my mind. I said, he's a hero today, but in a matter of days or weeks, they won't even remember his name. And that's true. I choose not to forget Frank, but New York City has. I could tell you that. If you stop anybody in New York City and ask them, do you know who Cecil Frank Sledge is? Is he a football player? Does he play for the Jets, the Mets, the Yankees? No, he was a person who laid down his life so that people could be free. We will once again forget not only him, but we'll forget all the others who have made that ultimate sacrifice, whether it be in emergency services, first responders, or our military. And it's sad, really. It is one thing to forget why we went upstairs and can't remember why we climbed those stairs. It's one thing to forget a phone number or a name of a person that we meet on Main Street and we just forgot. But like that woman who shared with me, it's another thing to forget all that she did for her relative, and her relative just forgot her. Or it's another thing for the Israelites to forget all that God had done for them and to choose to willingly forget who God was in their lives, or to forget someone we call a hero today, but we forget them tomorrow and the next day and the next month and the next year. That's why we do this today, is to remember. We willfully choose not to forget. And that's why the same holds true for this weekend. To remember all the men and women who laid down their lives from the Revolutionary War right up to our situations in the Middle East today and other parts of the world that we may not even be aware of, where our troops are deployed in harm's way. Last year I did a painting. There's a copy of it hanging in Wesley Hall of 13 members of our church who went off to war and who never made it back home, serving their nation. And by the way, this is my belief. I believe there are more than 13. This church has been around since George Washington was president. I believe we have lost other members of this church in other conflicts, like the Civil War, Vietnam, Korea, and other conflicts that we're not even aware of. And the only reason I'm aware of these 13 is because there's a plaque on the wall in the backside of this church. But I would surmise that there's more than 13 of our members who made the ultimate sacrifice. 13 young men who left this community, left this very building. They were baptized here and confirmed to go off and to serve their nation and to make that ultimate sacrifice. I'll name them in a moment so that we will not forget them. So in our scripture text this morning that Conrad read, we witness something very significant that should help us unpack what we're doing today. The children of Israel had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, after they escaped the bondage of the Egyptians. Moses had just died, and Joshua took over command of this band of Israelites. Israel found themselves back at the same place their fathers were 40 years earlier, standing at the edge of the Jordan River just before going into the land that God had promised them since the beginning. And here at the shore of the Jordan River, God caused the waters to be separated so that they could cross over on dry land. Does that sound familiar? It happened with Moses, if you might remember. It's very reminiscent of Moses, God, through Moses, parting the Red Sea so the Israelites could escape from the onslaught of the approaching Egyptian army, who would have annihilated them if that water had not been parted. And so, once on the other side of the Jordan River, Joshua called. He didn't just say, "Hey, isn't this nice? Our feet weren't even wet." No, he calls for a memorial to be constructed. And he tells his men, "I want you to go back to that dry land in the Jordan and bring these big stones so that we could build a memorial so that the people of God will never forget what God has done this day. A memorial so that they wouldn't forget. They wouldn't forget their heritage. They wouldn't forget who they are as a people. They wouldn't forget their past." And let me tell you, that's a major problem with people who don't appreciate history. We must remember our past, the good, the bad, and the ugly, so that we, if it's bad, that we not repeat it. And if it's good, that we would be grateful. And so history is very important, and Joshua knew that. And so the Bible is filled with reminders for us not to forget. I pulled just a few. Deuteronomy 7:18, it says, "Remember well what the Lord God has done for you." Has God done anything for you? He's done a lot for me. I can tell you that much. Deuteronomy 24:18, "Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God redeemed you from there." Choose not to forget. We may not have been slaves in Egypt, but we certainly were slaves to sin. Well, maybe not you guys, but I was. And we have freedom from that. Psalm 105:5, "Remember the wonders that God has done in your life." Isaiah 46:8, "Remember this, fix it in your mind and take it to heart what God has done for you." And then lastly, in Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul says, "Don't forget where you came from and where you are now. Don't forget your past so that you know where you are now in the present and where you're going in the future." And many times I look back over my life and I'm very thankful for where God brought me from in my own personal life. There are over 100, maybe 200 scripture passages that constantly tell us, remember, don't forget. Be mindful, don't forget. And so today, we pause to remember. Yes, we pause to remember what Christ did on Calvary's cross. And don't forget, it wasn't too long ago that we celebrated Holy Week and Easter. And how do I know that? There's still a doggone Easter basket under here. Yes, there is. I'll leave it for you, Bob. But here we are. We only celebrated Holy Week and Easter. We know what Christ did on the cross for us. We know that the grave couldn't keep him. And so we choose to remember what happened in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. And on this weekend, we pause to remember those who laid down their lives and made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation. You want to see some staggering numbers as I bring this message to a close? This is what I was able to uncover. And I believe the numbers are greater than this. In the Revolutionary War, we lost over 4,000 troops. The War of 1812, over 2,000. The Indian Wars, over 1,000. The Mexican-American War, 1,700 plus. The Civil War, 214, almost 215,000 men died. Spanish-American War, 385. World War I, 53,402. World War II, 291,557 young people died. In the Korean War, almost 34,000. Vietnam, over 58,000. The War on Terrorism since 9/11, over 7,000 men and women. And you know what? If you add in the other conflicts like Panama and Grenada and other places that are not even listed in these stats, I could tell you that this nation has lost over 750,000 men and women serving in uniform. 750,000 people we choose to remember today. If that's not a good enough reason to remember today, I don't know what is. If that's not enough good enough reason to choose to not forget, I don't know what is. And so I'd like to pause for a moment. And I'd like to name the 13 members. By the way, I would like for you to understand that these 13 names I lift up today represent the 750,000 that made the ultimate sacrifice. These are 13 of our own that will help us focus that it's not somebody out there, it's not somebody living in Georgia or California or Michigan. These were 13 people from this church who never came home. And so the first one I'd like to mention this morning is Louis H. Sweezy. Thomas B. Prime. Kenneth Lyle Jane. And he has family members in this church right now. Bleeker Latin. Jack Otto Stark. Edwin W. Smith. Paul J. Amen. Boyle A. Kime. Robert K. Biggs. Arthur R. Edwards. David Elton Hallowell. And his family members are here as well today. Russell H. Mulrain and Keith R. Bishop. And now we'll hear the playing of taps.